All right. Well, I was blessed to open our fellowship here this morning with that, or this evening with that wonderful poem about my hero, because everybody loves heroes. I want to look at Romans chapter 5. And I've entitled this sharing tonight, He Was and He Is Our Peace. In Romans chapter 5, we kind of get the ball rolling here. Romans 5, verse 1 says, Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I just think that's such a wonderful and meaningful verse, that we've been justified by simple faith, and it says we have peace with God. You know, there are places, maybe we'll take a look at it here in a minute, that says that Jesus Christ is our peace. He, if you look even deeper into it, which we won't take the time tonight to do, He is our peace offering. And David Berge, I was looking at his great book today that he does on Jesus Christ, our complete offering. And if you want something to really study for a period of time, that is really quite a book. It goes through all the sacrifices and all the different offerings, and Jesus Christ satisfied the criteria for each and every one of those. But what I really want to focus on is that Jesus Christ was and He is our peace. So there's both kind of a doctrinal side of it, and then there's a practical side of it. And maybe you're reminded of this verse in Isaiah chapter 53. You can take your Bible and go there if you like. Isaiah 53 is that wonderful record of the prophecy that Isaiah gave of, you know, what Jesus would go through and what He did in establishing. Verse 4, Isaiah 53, Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. And this section continues to go on even more, but we want to focus at this point in time on this phrase, the chastisement of our peace, for our peace was upon Him. Another version, the Bible in Basic English, shares this verse as, He took the punishment by which we have peace. And so we realize that not only was the death of Jesus Christ to remove our sins and our transgressions, it was also for our peace. And the first thing that sin took away back in the day, it took away from the world, was peace. And I guess ever since the fall of man, man has been crying for peace. Peace in the world many times, and then certainly peace within. So that the first thing that sin nature took away was peace with God and peace within. And, you know, that is one of the first things that Christ restores to mankind through salvation. And when a man finds peace with God, you know what? The result is definitely peace within. That peace is a state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. And it's certainly one, if not one of the great proofs of salvation. This verse in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, where it says, But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. It says, you know, and shows us that Jesus died for mankind to be at peace, both with God, and then that man himself can have a peace that passes all understanding. One teacher that we read about describes this peace as the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. I get it, because we have the hope. And every time we hear of a tragedy or a brother or sister who's fallen asleep and we know that they were a believer, although not that we don't have immediate sorrow, and sometimes that sorrow lingers, but we have something even greater than death, and that's the hope that Christ will return, the acknowledgement, with the knowledge that Christ will return, whether we draw our last breath or Christ returns while we're still living, one way or another, he's coming back. And the world can't give us peace. And this peace that we have through Christ, it's not an ordinary peace. It's something that is complete freedom from all the stresses that are experienced as a result of sin, or let's say the sin nature, because the sin nature does not carry peace with it. But the new nature, the nature of the Holy Spirit, the nature of Christ within, that has peace. A supernatural peace that goes beyond human understanding. And I read that this peace, it's characterized by three things. First, it makes a man fear nothing from God at the return. As a matter of fact, we're promised rewards at the return. We've got nothing to fear because the judgment has already taken place and we have been set free because of the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ. Amen? And secondly, it makes a man or a woman content with whatever we have in this earthly life, whatever that may be. So firstly, you know what? It makes a man or a woman fear nothing from God at the return of Jesus Christ. And secondly, it makes us content. The world is always trying to push dissatisfaction. You never have enough. You never this and that and different things. But we can have great contentment. And thirdly, it is freedom from all the disturbances and agitation of mind and heart that have been brought about by sin, by the fall, and the sin nature. And all things considered, it is a quietness of mind and conscience. Wow. You know that song, What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love? How about what the world needs now is a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who can bring this wonderful peace. He has stepped in between. He is the one who bridged the chasm between God and man. He is that bridge that allowed mankind freely to come before the throne of Almighty God without judgment. Amen. How beautiful is that? And it's only Jesus who can give this. Only Christ can give this peace. You'll remember this verse maybe in John chapter 14, and in verse 27. I always loved this verse. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And the New Living Translation says this, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." You know, it's a good thing to be reminded and then to understand that Jesus went through these trials, these tribulations, this punishment, this agony of the cross, amongst other things, so that we could have peace. So he did not only pay for our sins to be forgiven, he, let's say, procured and secured our peace as well. It's a done deal. There's no going back. Now, we may have anxious moments and thoughts. We're not feeling exactly peaceful at any given moment. But that does not negate what Jesus Christ accomplished in being our peace and made peace between God and man. And so, you know, if you or I have been lacking the peace of God, God wants us to all know that peace of mind is our absolute legal right in Christ. God does not want any of his children to be troubled or afraid. You know, Satan has no right to harass your mind or your emotions anymore. So we don't give him a place. It's simple in many respects. Just do the right thing. Receive the peace of God. It's yours. It's yours. You know, like many things in the Bible, I mentioned this earlier, there is a doctrinal and a practical side. And there's the same thing true with peace. And, you know, Romans 8 talks about the carnal mind is enmity with God, but the spirit is life and what? Peace. Philippians 4, don't be anxious for anything, but by prayer it's a peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 2. We'll go there real quick. Ephesians chapter 2, just to kind of give us a little more insight into this subject matter. I shared this, I believe, the other day. Such a great section because it includes those words, but God, but God. And here in Ephesians chapter 2, it says in verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation at times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, I'm going to take a quick look at the Aramaic Peshitta by our beloved Jan Majera, and I want to look at this, verse 1 of chapter 2, and God is filling even you who were dead in your sins and your transgressions, in which you had walked previously, according to the worldliness of this world, and according to the will of the chief authority of the air, and of that spirit that operates in the sons of disobedience. We also were occupied in those deeds previously, in the desires of our flesh, and we were doing the will of our flesh and of our mind, and we were the sons of wrath as fully as the rest. Now these words in verse 4. But God, but God. I don't think any translation can eliminate those two words. King James, verse 4, Ephesians 2. But God, but God. Aramaic translation, verse 4, but God, who is rich in his mercies, because of his great love with which he loved us, while we were dead in our sins, gave us life with Christ, and by his grace redeemed us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, King James, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, go down to verse 13. It says, but now, not but God, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh or close by the blood of Christ. And here it is. For he is what? Our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two, twain, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity or the separation, the division between man and God, and also between Jew and Gentile. Verse 17, and came and preached what? Peace to you that were afar off, and to them that were close. Verse 18, for through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Boy, that sounds so familiar to Romans chapter 5, doesn't it? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. We have this peace. We have this peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by this faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen. We have peace with God, and we have the peace of God. So we enjoy both. Jesus Christ did a twofold work there when it comes to peace, because he bridged that chasm between God and man so that we now have peace with God. And then as a benefit of that, we have the peace of God. We get to enjoy absolutely the greatest benefits of both. Well, I want to close in Romans chapter 15. Maybe you could quote this without even going there. But I'm going to look in the Aramaic version. Because in verse 13 of 15, it says, now the God of peace grant you all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. Now the God of hope grant you all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Spirit. Boy, I better read it, huh? Let's see. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's really something, guys. Really something. Romans 15, 13. Aramaic Peshitta says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and faith, so that you may abound in his hope by the power of his Holy Spirit. One of the great benefits, one of the great practical things that Christ brought to us, because he paid the perfect price. Remember Isaiah 53, 5? Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and yes, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. He took our place, and now we have peace. Peace with God and the peace of God. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're so good and gracious and wonderful, you're kind to us, you're rich in the very thing we need, this mercy. Thank you, God, that we can continue to walk forward from this point, recognizing, realizing, and just taking a stand, drawing a line in the sand, and just telling the devil, you got no rights, that Jesus Christ paid the price, and it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, and we just walk forward authoritatively in that. Thank you, God, for each and every one of us. Thank you for during this resurrection time that we are mindful of the broken body and the shed blood and what that has brought to us, and that we will take time in the moments of our lives, Father, to reflect upon that. And may we have the opportunities to share the gospel of peace with others, however that presents itself. Thank you for each and every person who's called in tonight. And may we go on our way rejoicing, Father, knowing that you are a God of love and grace and goodness. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.